Hello, hello, and welcome to the Sharp Side Podcast. I'm your host, Chaz Parada. With me today to break down NFL Week 1 is the one, the only Austin Tark. James will be joining us in a bit, but he had to go on another train. So
we're back, baby. It's football season.
That's right. And then he had to go to Home Depot.
Yes, that is very James to show up late for our podcast. We are recording this middle of the Thursday night football game. It's actually the very first beginning. We haven't seen it yet. But I'm hoping by the end of it, we got the over hit. And I don't know. I took the Rams. Who'd you take tonight?
I have the Rams too. I got the Rams too. Okay. Oh, I hope I made that pick.
Yeah. Let's hope we'll be winners.
Okay. But I'm excited.
I am too. I got my jersey on.
Oh, nice. What jersey?
Tom Brady, of course.
Of course. But a Tampa Bay Bucks jersey. Mm-hmm. Of course. Because you are the world's biggest Bucks fan, along with the world's biggest.
They're one of my four favorite teams.
The Jets, the Giants, the G-Men, and the Broncos, which I don't really know where that came from, but
Mr. Unlimited. That's right.
Okay. We're going to kind of shake up the format a little bit. We're still going to be doing best bets. Here comes James.
All right,
Jim. Wait, he's connecting. Yeah. This is great radio. Yes. James, can you hear me?
I can.
We are recording. Okay.
Welcome, James.
Hey.
We're going to shake things up a little bit. It might be a little.
Bills touchdown.
Woo-hoo! Tell me it's Gabe Davis.
Gabe Davis.
Woo! Let's go.
Come on.
Great radio.
Hold on. Wow, I'm way behind.
Okay.
Okay. And there it is. Tutty.
All of us?
All right. Okay.
James says the cops are here. Is that really true or is that just not right? God damn it. Let's continue. We're going to have to cut this.
Honestly, I might keep it in. This is really funny. There's so much going on.
All right, I'll be back.
All right. Well, Chaz, it's a two-man show. Let's just get this thing going.
Good luck to James with whatever the hell he's got going on. He's probably building something since he went to Home Depot. But
all right,
I'm not cutting the thing. Okay. So, as I was saying, we're going to start with best bets. I'm going to make James text me his, and then we are going to – I'm not beholding us to five plays each. Sometimes we'll have five, sometimes we'll have less, and sometimes we'll have more, which those will be the fun weeks. And so we'll start with best bets, kind of move on through all of them. And once we get to that at the very end, Austin, what are we saving for the end? I'll let you kind of go through it all.
Well, I like to call with my friends a free money parlay. Once a week, I like to give out a free money parlay to my friends. And just like the title says, it's free money, you know?
Every time.
Our goal will be that it'll be at least 10-1 odds. But just think of it this way. Whatever you bet on it, just multiply it by 10 and just start counting your cash because it's free money. So by the end of the pod, we'll have discussed our plays together. And we'll figure out what's our most confident parlay that we can put together. And yes, more realistically, we're not going to go 18-0. But it'll be interesting after 18 weeks how our free money parlay does. And chances are we will be positive because it's free money.
It is free money.
Anyway, why don't we get to the best bets?
Let's do it. Austin, James isn't here. I think you beat me last year too, right? Or did we tie? I think you beat me.
We were both
we were both below 500, but that's the last time we'll mention that. Oh, good thing James isn't listening right now.
Yep.
But you know what? I'm going to make a prediction right before we get in. I'm sorry. Uh-huh. This is taking longer than I thought. It'll be week 8. And James will still be talking about how he won last year.
Absolutely. He will be talking about it the next two
in week
seasons.
17. Yeah.
The next he will not leave it down.
Yeah, but you guys remember what I won. All right, Austin, what's your best bet?
I'm taking the Patriots plus 3.5. So for starters, week 1 is tough to judge because we obviously don't have any information on these teams, stats, offensively, defense. We just really kind of know what the additions happen in the offseason. And the biggest thing I'm looking at is I'm looking to fade new head coaches week 1, just being that lack of continuity, lack of familiarity, especially preparation wise. I wrote down that they're against the spread record is 44% in week one. So Mike McDaniel joins the Miami Dolphins this year after losing Flores. I blanked on his name. And this is now a totally change of different scheme. We're switching more to an offensive mind where, yes, they have some great additions. They got Tyreek Hill, they got Waddle, and hopefully an emergence of Tua this year.
Armstead, too.
Armstead, like that. That offense is loaded. Don't get me wrong. But I'm just – my play here is that I'm fading McDaniel and fading that they're going to have to work out some kinks week one. And this is also going away from the defensive-minded team that they were last year. And I do expect their defense to be worse this season. So that's point one. And, of course, we got Bill Belichick on the other side. And all offseason, all the last couple months, this spread has been 2.5. And just in this last week, this spread has been kicked up to 3.5 for really no reasoning at all, except for the fact that reports out of camp is they don't really know who's calling plays. Is it Joe Judge? Is it Matt Patricia? Seems to be a bit of confusion. Apparently the run game doesn't work out of New England. And if you ask me, I think it's all one big smokescreen. Bill Belichick knows what he's doing here. This is still the greatest mind in football, and I really don't think he's going to be winging it on week one of the NFL season. So I think I'm getting a coaching advantage. I'm fading the guy in his first NFL week, and I'm taking Bill Belichick. Now I'm getting more than a field goal, which I think is more than enough when I think New England's the better team. Secondly, another reason that they're getting a lot of shit is New England is because they're on the road, and playing in Miami in September is a disadvantage. It is very hot. It's very humid. Well, how did the Patriots negate that? They arrived in Miami on Tuesday, acclimating to the humidity and heat all week. That is exactly what I want to see out of a team like the Patriots. So for me, I'm just kind of dodging the smokescreen of that the offense and the head coach and the coordinators don't really know what's going for it. I'm getting more than a field goal here, and I think this is a great line, and I like the play.
Okay, I'm not going to like rebut anything you said because I pretty much agree with most of it. I guess I lean the Dolphins here just because I think that there's reasons to be worried about what's going on with the Patriots, just kind of like all of the coaches together. And we've seen a little bit of disorganization or maybe, I don't know. It's kind of hard to tell sometimes, right? Because you have the greatest quarterback ever. And he leaves. And so obviously you kind of expect there to be some dysfunction. And it's felt like we've seen a little bit of dysfunction since he's left. And I think part of the reason for that is that Ernie Adams also left at the same time. He might have left the year before. And like he's almost like this mystery, like renowned scout, like everything research guy that just Bill Belichick relied on. And he's a major reason why the Patriots dynasty was as great as it was. And yep. I'm curious to where, like, you know, you lose input like that versus to what it's been with some, and like, you know, now you got to listen to Matt Patricia and who's the other
Joe Judge,
which yeah, I'm sure they're super solid assistant coaches. Like that's, yep. There's nothing. I'm sure Bill Belichick knows exactly what he's doing with hiring people, but he's kind of failed to embrace like positive, like, you know, game script decisions. And I just think that there are reasons for negativity with the Patriots. And it's just not really something that I really want to get in the way of. But I will say, like, Bill Belichick against a coach making his debut, can you think of something better than that? Like, it's like I'm curious what the record is. What's the thing? It's Belichick versus rookie quarterbacks in the playoffs, yep, or something like that. And it's
no, I think regular season, just anytime.
Yeah, and he just dominates.
Yep.
I get it. So this is my best bet, but we can talk about it now. I love the over. I think the Patriots defense is significantly worse than it was the last few years. And I'm completely buying in on the Dolphins offense. So love, you know, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle. It's a good stable of running backs. So should be a much better O-line. And Tua is not as bad or as good as everyone seems to make him out to be. He's just solid. And in this 49ers, you know, Shanahan style creative run offense, you just need a quarterback to be solid. And I think like that's exactly like if Tua hits his 99th percentile, he's like Drew Brees, which like that would be the was that Kyle Shanahan, Mike Shanahan, is that like not his ideal quarterback? Just make the throws, be really accurate, and like be perfect on timing. So I think there's a little bit of a ceiling to dream on, and I'm not worried that Tyreek Hill can't throw the ball 60 yards because like three quarterbacks can actually do that.
So, yeah, you mean Tua, but yeah, you said Tyreek Hill. Oh, you said Tyreek Hill. Well,
you know what? I don't think he can throw the ball 60 yards. So I wasn't completely wrong. Yeah. But, go ahead.
I agree with you. This goes back to just week one and just the uncertainty of week one, because I'm with you. I'm fascinated by this Dolphins team. I'm really intrigued to see what this offense is going to look like, and Tua particularly, because I do want to like them. I mean, I really like these offensive pieces. And I also really am interested in what this Patriots offense is going to look like, especially when they were very run heavy last year. Mac Jones definitely had a very good season, but is he going to take another step? We'll see. But because if this Patriots team is going to be good, Mac Jones has to be a pretty solid quarterback. He's got to be top 10, I'd say. So we will see.
I don't think that's out of the question. Mac Jones is pretty solid. He and Tua are probably like the 16th and 17th best quarterbacks in the league. Is that unfair?
Yeah, I think it's fair.
Yeah. They're
pretty equal.
That's Patriots Dolphins. You know if James liked anything here?
I am not sure.
All right, we can move on. I'll go to my best bet. I love the Titans -5.5 against the Giants. We have another coach making his debut versus the reigning coach of the year, where I think it's totally fair to not like Mike Vrabel. But it seems like the same people who don't like Mike Vrabel are the same people who, you know, who don't like like Mike Tomlin. And it's year in, year out, you're just like digging yourself into a hole where at some point Mike Vrabel is just not going to be able to succeed, but he continues to do it year in, year out. And his defense, I know they just lost Harold Landry for the year, but against what was a really bad offensive line with a lack of continuity, I think that the rest of the big bodies up front led by Jeffrey Simmons can absolutely feast. It's still Daniel Jones at quarterback. I don't really care who's calling plays, who's calling. Granted, let's feed the rock to Wandale Robinson, although he's sitting on my bench, so not this week. But it's like the Daniel Jones and the baby hands where he's like, is it unfair for me to guarantee a fumble or a defensive touchdown? That's a prop I can bet, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Oof, that's a creative one, throwing the free money parlay. But I completely understand the reservations about the offense. You lose arguably the best receiver in football, definitely one of them.
Yeah.
And you know, you replace him with Robert Woods and a first round wide receiver that might not even start. So yep. I get it. And the offensive line isn't going to be great, but you get Derrick Henry back, who on the offensive side of the ball, I would argue he is the most valuable offensive player in the league just because of the gravity he holds and what he can do in the open field, where just like outrunning people, overpowering people in anything. And so I think that like that makes Ryan Tannehill's life easier. And when his life easier, he can normally make those throws. So I think they're going to be able to score pretty easily. I'm not worried at all about the Giants defense. In fact, I think it might be kind of bad. And the Titans defense is really good. And it was so good last year. And I think that there's a chance that it is comparable or better this year. So Titans -5.5, your thoughts?
Well, you know, I'm trying to get an injury report because I think that there were some, yeah. Going into the year, I was high on the Giants as of like a month ago. I really like Dable, and I think that this offense needed a new mind within the team. Daniel Jones needed it. And then just all the reports out of the camp are just Daniel Jones just looks really bad, and he's not really taking that next step. And I really like this play as of a couple weeks ago, and this was +6, +6.5.
I forget, you bet it.
I did not. No, okay. I bet Brian Daboll coach of the year and Giants to win the division, which we will see how those go. Because I'm still highish on this Giants team, but that's if Daniel Jones makes this big leap. That's if Saquon Barkley is completely healthy.
Also,
and that's if this receiving core still stays intact, which they have a very solid receiving core. But as I checked the injury report, Sterling Shepard won't be there this week. It looks like everyone else will be there, but they got a couple other injuries. Thibodeau would be a big loss.
Let me throw this in real quick. Yeah. I think it's still kind of fair to like be in terms of like season long stuff like the Giants, because their schedule is a joke, especially like
easiest.
After this.
Easiest in the league. That's yeah. That's the main reason why I like them long.
So and just in terms of this week, I think it's such a bad matchup, and especially like when, you know, you got really, I guess it's actually not true at all for the Titans because they lost Landry, but you know, like you're relatively like healthy and ready to go. So,
yeah. James's pushback here would be that he said it before, and he's right. The Titans have never fared well as a favorite at home. We've been fading that for the last 2 or 3 years now, making very pretty true. Good money on it. I remember particularly the Bengals beating them, I think 2 years ago. They were like 8 or 9 point dogs.
The Jets last year.
Jets, yeah. Like we've definitely profited off that. And at the same time, Daniel Jones is great as a big underdog.
Yeah, he is.
But so
this also isn't really like a big spread. Like it's under six.
Yeah. And now at 5.5 now, no, my only bet would be Titans. Because before at 6, 6.5, you know, Giants were calling me a little bit more. Now this game is just a pass for me. I definitely understand your logic. And I drafted Derrick Henry. He is my guy this year. So I'm very rooting for him to run all over, run amok on the Giants. But I'm going to pass, and I can't say I hate your play, because at 5.5, I think this is the number. I do think they are far, far away the better team. And I do think, again, back to what I said in the first game, we are fading coaches in their first game, and this is Dable's first show. This is his first rodeo, and sure, he was the offensive coordinator for some time, but that was up in the booth. He wasn't even on the sidelines. This will be a whole new adventure for him, and I'll take that fade when you have Vrabel on the other side.
For sure. All right. James' best bet was Ravens -7. I will. All right. Ready? Okay. I'm James now. All right. Here we go. Ravens -7. Harbaugh is a bully. And I'm sure James will have some trend about the Ravens absolutely dominating week 1. And Harbaugh just runs it up on really bad teams. And if that James actually did say that, I couldn't disagree with a single thing you said. So, yep.
I can't say much.
Joe Flacco is starting.
Yes. Yeah, I think when I texted earlier in the chat that I think if Zach Wilson was playing, there's more variance. I can see good Jets performance. But when Flacco's going, it's like they're going to score 14, 17 points, and there's just no chance they win this game. And as Chaz just mentioned, the Ravens are known for stomping on teams week 1. And they're also known for stomping on bad teams. Like, yes. They always are running up scores against bad teams, and Jets are a bad team. I like this play. They are my survivor pick. I think this is a very difficult week for survivor for those listening, because, you know, you never want to take a team that's on the road, and you never want to take a division opponent. But in this week, you're kind of forced to take one of those. So I'm actually taking the Ravens at -7, or I'm taking the Ravens for my survivor, just because I don't see a world that the Jets win this game. And now that the line is 7, I'm okay with taking the spread too.
All right. I'm going to go on and move on to my second play. I like the Chargers -3 hosting the Raiders. It's a pretty juicy 3. It's like -120. So it's probably 3, 3.5. Yep. I'm hosting the show. I'm calling it 3. So for starters, I think that the Chargers are, is it fair to say they won the offseason? Probably them or the Eagles.
Agreed. Completely.
Normally those are like the teams to fade, just because it kind of gets pumped up and bet up too much. But it's year two under Staley?
Yeah.
Yeah. Year two under Staley, more time with Herbert, and there's a very nice little chip on the shoulder revenge angle too with the Chargers here. Just going up against the team that knocked them out when, I guess technically speaking, you know, there could have been a communal white flag waved and they just both got in. But this Chargers team is arguably the most talented in all of football. I think Brandon Staley is a top 5 coach. I'm fully on board with just the, like, sticking to what you know, and he's using a really cool Rams pick. Sticking to what you know. Damn. And just, you know, being confident in like your decision making. I think that matters for like a coach like that, when like when you need to like lead like very like, you know, like alpha individuals, like that's important. And his defense, what was wrong with it last year? They were terrible against the run. So you're getting a really bad rushing offense against a really bad O-line. And also your rush defense should be way better this year because it really can't get much worse. So they upgraded the D-line. They brought in Khalil Mack, J.C. Jackson, so that they can go so that, you know, you can keep seven guys up in the box. And I think that's going to really show week one. I don't know if J.C. Jackson is going to play, which could mean a big game for Davante Adams, but really love the Chargers here. It's also a weirdly great spot week one. So Chargers minus three.
Yeah, I agree with you. This is another one. James is unmuted. James, you back?
Yeah, I'm back.
All right.
All right, well, we are on Chargers Raiders right now. We already just talked about your best bet of the Ravens.
All right, cool.
Did you get arrested?
No, some guy is like a public safety guy from last year. I was just checking in. So this is really – he's like a nice guy. It's just like – there hasn't been any problems with this house in like 11 months. I don't know why he's got to stop by, especially in the first like football game of the year. Like, just watch a football game, dude. You fucking loser.
All right. Well, now that you're here, what are your thoughts on Chargers Raiders?
I lean to the Chargers at three. I think it might take a little while to gel for the Raiders. New head coach, and I'm sure Devontae and Derek Carr have pretty good familiarity, especially playing at Fresno State together. But I think the Chargers are just better set to start the year. And I think they're the better team. I'm sure that really doesn't factor any home field. So I don't know if the Chargers are 3 points better than the Raiders, but I lean that way. This is probably a pass for me.
Yeah, I agree. And Chaz, you hit on it. I think the Chargers D-line should feast in this game. The Raiders' biggest weakness is their offensive line. So Chargers should be able to take advantage of that. And then you know how I love me my revenge angle. This is a very much revenge game. Week 18, they got kicked out of the playoffs because of the same exact game. I see the Chargers winning this one.
And I'll also say the second worst part of the Raiders is their secondary. And so Justin Herbert and friends will feast. So go Chargers. James, thoughts on Patriots-Dolphins real quick? Anything? 10 words or less?
I like the Pats plus 3.5.
Okay.
I just don't understand that line. Usually when they go down to Miami, it's in like it's in the winter. So it's a hard – it's hard to adjust to like the climate at that point, especially coming from New England. But I think this time of year, it shouldn't be that big of a deal. Maybe the humidity is kind of a factor, but I just don't understand the line. I don't think the Dolphins are 2 points better than the Patriots or 1.5, whatever they're counting for home field here. Now it's past three. I see this being a low scoring game, so I'll take 3.5. But another interesting note is Belichick's never lost to the same opponent four times in a row since 2000 when he took over for the Patriots, and the Dolphins have won three straight, so
it's a trend.
Yeah.
Okay, James, what would you say your second favorite play was?
The Jaguars money line.
All right, let's hear it.
Plus 2.5.
Jacksonville's getting 2.5. Sorry to cut you off. At the Washington Commanders, totals 44. Go ahead.
I just love the additions of the Jags in the offseason. They got Brandon Scherff on the O line, Christian Kirk, Evan Engram, and Zay Jones. I just think they're going to be very improved. I worry about Washington and Carson Wentz. Last year, the Jaguars had his number. I understand new coaching staff and things change, but a lot of the personnel is still there. And I'd argue the defense probably got a little better with some of the additions on that side of the ball. And honestly, I just like 2.5. I think the Jaguars are going to surprise this year. If you want to play them as a long shot to win the AFC South, I wouldn't hate that. I'm a little higher on the Jags. I think Lawrence takes a big step forward with Doug Peterson.
I'll go. I do as well. I like the Jags this year. I do. I'm with you. But I don't understand why this number got to 2.5. It was a 3.5 all summer. And this week suddenly got pushed to 3 and really no news happened at all. And now that it's a 2.5, I think I'm talking myself into the Commanders. I look at this Jags team. They got a new coach and a new defensive coordinator. And I don't know. I'm just kind of fading lack of familiarity. And yeah, Chaz talks a shit about Ron Rivera, but hey, I think we got still continuity on that side of the ball, and we got Carson Wentz. That has to be an upgrade over Taylor Heineke. Absolutely. Taylor Heineke was a shit. They were scrolling through quarterbacks last year. And then were horrible on the road last year. I mean, sure, it was last year, and there's only so much you can take from that from a horrible Jags team, but they were 0-8 and lost by a combined 18 points on the road last year. When I'm getting under a field goal here to fade them, I'll take it. So I'll take Washington.
It's funny. Because Carson Wentz had like this like crazy like luck box season last year, where he should have probably had thrown like 8 more picks and thrown like 6 less touchdowns, but he's still probably an upgrade. And then you look at Jacksonville, and they probably should have been a lot better. Just you take out like rosters, quarterbacks, development, all that. You're going from whatever Urban Meyer was last year to Doug Peterson, an actual adult. And that is, I don't know how that's, it feels unquantifiable. So, well, it is, but it's, I love Jags and the tees. 2.5 up to 8.5. It just feels like the best tees leg, I guess. I'm sure you guys will say the Vikings later on, but
no, I disagree. I just think there's variance. I think there's variance with this Jags team. I mean,
yeah, where they're just like really, really bad again.
Yeah, I mean, like, why wouldn't they? We only have 10 minutes in the Zoom left.
Okay, keep going.
I will just go to the next play.
Okay.
We have 10 minutes in this spot.
All right. Okay, let's talk Browns.
Okay.
James, do you have any thoughts, James Browns? Because Austin and I both like the Browns.
I did like the Panthers. I've been talked off. It was more of a impulse play when – like the Deshaun, everything got finalized, and Baker, like, I'm going to fuck them up. It was more of that, and now it's kind of fading away. And when you look at the X's and O's, the Browns definitely have the better roster and head coach. So I'm neutral. I just don't want any part.
All right. I just think the Browns are just so much more talented, like, after the quarterback. And they're also way better coached. So yeah. I think that the Browns should be – you know, laying a point and a half here, possibly two. And so give me the Browns.
Yeah, I'm completely in. I think the only reason you take the Panthers is because of the Baker narrative. And I'm going to fuck you up quote. He ended up like backtracking, which I thought was dumb. You might as well just stick to your guns, Baker, and be the hard guy that you think you are. And then sure enough, a Myles Garrett article comes out today where it's like, they kind of just lost their relationship with one another. And I got a feeling the Browns want to fuck them up. So totally. I'm full in on the Browns this week.
Totally. They're going to be, Baker's going to be playing fake angry, but the Browns are going to be playing actually angry.
Yeah.
All right. This is the last of my likes. It's Colts -7. And I just think it's going to, I am generally pretty low on the Colts. And I just think there's going to be a significant upgrade from Matt Ryan from Carson Wentz. And I think that he's going to get more out of the skill talent that was there. And so I think that they're going to be able to score a whole lot more easily. And somehow Shaq Leonard is playing. And I thought he was supposed to be out until like week 10. So that's also a huge boost. Any thoughts there? I really like -7.
Now that it's seven, I don't know why this number got pushed down to 7. The Colts dominated both matchups last year, and that was with Davis Mills and with Carson Wentz. I'm with you. I think the Colts upgraded this season. I think it's 7. I really like it. And also, there's all this talk that, like, oh, the Colts keep losing week 1. They keep losing. They've actually lost last 7 years in week 1. At this point, you got to get the monkey. Yeah, you got to get the monkey off your back and put full focus into a week. And I don't think they're going to be overlooking like the Jags, like they did last year. Was it Jags last year?
Yeah, it was.
I don't think they're overlooking. They're going to put full effort into this and look to start off hot, especially with Matt Ryan.
All right. Awesome. Oh, wait, sorry.
I was just going to kind of give you some counterpoints and some trends. I lean the other way. I just worry about the continuity right off the bat. The Colts, just talking about week 1, are 1-12-1 ATS since 2008 in week 1. And divisional home dogs are 13-2-1 ATS week 1 since 2010. So,
that's true. Some trends. The divisional home dogs thing is something I was a little worried about, which is kind of why I like the Falcons a little bit too. But at a certain point, like I I'm taking the better roster. And the other fear is one of these road dogs has to win, or these home dogs has to win.
Yeah.
I hear you, but I'm with you. I'm with Chaz. I think the Colts are the better team, and I think they run over them.
All right, Austin, let's get another one of your likes.
I really like Seahawks first half. And to be honest, if that number gets to 7, I think I'm going to grab that as well. Mm-hmm. But I mean, for me, sure, this is the Russell Wilson reunion, but 7 points is far too many, and I do think Seattle's going to be pretty bad this year, but same exact thing, fading first-time head coach, new offense, new team, pretty much new everything on that Broncos team. So there'll take a little bit to get, you know, get the kinks run out, and that's particularly why I'm taking the first half. But then also the energy that's going to be in Seattle. They're known for being such a raucous crowd, and sure, Geno Smith is at the helm, but that is going to be a very, very loud venue, and I think there'll be energy in the building to enough to at least fire up Seattle for that first half where they can rely on the crowd and certainly cover the +3.5, +4 that's going to be offered in the first half. So I'll take that. I'm pretty high on the Broncos this year, but I'm going to fade him for the first half of this game. And I think, you know what, Geno Smith is the quarterback you kind of want to take for a first half angle where you're just trying to cover 3.5, 4 points, because he's not going to make too many mistakes. He's going to keep the game in in the game. So I like that play.
I love it. This is in my five likes too. It's probably my number two. I debated the Seahawks +6.5 as my best bet, but I think the first half is the better angle. Especially in a return for Russell Wilson, we could see like a slow start. And Pete Carroll's also a really good motivator. Usually when Seattle's a home dog, they perform pretty well. And if you look like the last 10 years on Monday Night Football, the first half of the season, I think home dogs are hitting around 70% in the first half. So everything lines up for Seattle here.
I have no opinion. So let's move on. Austin, what's next?
I said under in the Vikings-Packers game. For starters, it's just a lot of familiarity with the two teams here.
Total is 47.
Love it. I believe the number was 44 or 44.5 last year when the season teams played, and now we're at 47. I just don't quite get it. And we're looking at a Packers team that just lost Devontae Adams. And sure, Aaron Rodgers has always figured it out, but is he going to figure it out in this first game? I don't know. Especially there's a lot of familiarity between these two teams, even if the Vikings are at first-time head coach. And speaking of first-time head coach, he's known as an offensive mind. We're expecting this Vikings offense to be better this year, but you know, it's his first game. Got to work out some more kinks. I don't know if the offense is going to be fully ready week one. So, honestly, I just think I like the under here, and I'm high on the Vikings, and I want to take them in this game. But I think the under is just the better play.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. And, you know, you subtract Devontae Adams and you add Jaire Alexander. So, I expect the Packers defense to be better as well.
Mm-hmm.
James, your thoughts? You look like the Vikings, right?
Yeah, definitely the Vikings way. In terms of the total, I don't really have much on it, but I think the Vikings make an outstanding teaser leg. Or like a good leg in a money line around Robin Parlay.
Agreed. So we have 3.5 minutes. You want to talk 3 minutes? You guys want to talk a play, or do you want to talk our five favorites for a free money parlay?
Let's go the free money parlay.
Because honestly, I like James's Ravens -7. I'm okay with that.
Same here.
I'm okay with Browns.
I'm feeling Ravens -7, Browns pick, Packers Vikings under,
Seahawks first half,
and Seahawks first half.
Okay. I don't have the first half number right here, but I'll tell you what that pays. That pays 12-1. So that is what we said. We got our 10-1. Do we want to add a money line leg in there or no?
No. This is a good starting point. This is a good starting point. Because I guarantee you we will be getting far more creative with this when we have more time. So, I agree. We're going to start 1-0 under our belt.
Good. So let's just clarify. Let's go over our best bets. My best bets is Patriots +3.5.
I love the Titans -5.5. James?
I'm all over the Ravens -7.
All right.
And for the free money parlay, we've got Ravens -7. Word to James, being the champ from last year, we will use his play in the free money parlay. Ravens -7, Browns pick /money line, Seahawks first half, and Packers Vikings under. Under 47 is the number we're choosing. That is a key number. I'd recommend that number the most.
Yes. All right. 12-1. I like it. For the Sharp Side Podcast, it was a lot happened.
This was a podcast.
This was what they call a podcast. But thank you all for listening. Thank you for bearing with us. You know what? I will say we're not in mid-season form. We're in preseason.
Week one. Week one. Yeah, we're working out the kinks, man. Just like one. These coaches.
Like Kevin O'Connell asked that question. Thank you guys for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at the Sharpside Pod and rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts for the Sharpside Podcast. Thanks. Once again, thank you. Austin, what are we going to do this weekend?
Let's go with some money.
Let's do it. Stephon Diggs, baby.